Good afternoon. I keep wanting to say good morning because it's kind of my first shot at talking to real people, but I'll say because I've spent the morning hanging out with the Lord. So good afternoon. What a wonderful looking group you are. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see very well, but I think that helps a lot. Now, Jesus is very excited about being here. You know that Jesus never gets down? Do you know that? That is both threatening and extremely liberating. The thing I ask people a lot is, what does the words from Colossians 3 mean to you? When it says, now when Christ, who is your life, does that mean he's just your buddy, your best friend, the most important person to you? Or does it mean what it says, that Christ is your life, that he's the source of your life? He's the one who lives the Christian life, filtered out through your unique humanity. It's Christ living in you. That's what it says in Colossians. Christ is all and he's in all. So if Christ is your life, then he's the plumb line. Everything that we do and feel and think is measured by how he thinks, how he feels, and what he does. Did you know that? You can know the feelings of Christ. You can know his emotional makeup, even in your personality. Did you know that Jesus doesn't get down, like feeling sorry for yourself down or bad mood down? Does his heart ever get broken for people? Yeah. Even Paul said there were times when he sorrowed, yet even then he was always rejoicing. So if Jesus doesn't get down and he's my life, then is it okay that we get down? Do we want to like have space for him to give me permission to do that? Or is that the kind of freedom that you really want to have? You know, the biggest phony expression of Christianity are those who don't believe they can actually experience Christ-likeness in its fullest measure in your emotions, in your mind, and in your behavior. Because that's, if you think that's okay, that that's normal because you're being transparent. No, you're just being honest about your sin. But Jesus came to set us free from that. You know that? He paid a huge price to set you free from the reign of sin. And oh my gosh, I hope you haven't settled for some phony baloney expression of real Christianity just because you're being honest about how miserable you are. Is he offended at the fact if you get miserable? No, but he wants to set you free from it. So you have to really fight your way through the grace of God to stay that way, because it's just not who Jesus is. I don't know why I said all that to you. Huh? I think it's because, I really honestly, but and it's this generation particularly, the millennial generation more than any generation in history, thinks that transparency is the greatest expression of spirituality. No, Christ-likeness is. Transparency is important, yes. For in our weakness, his strength is made perfect, and we can't know his perfect strength being manifested in our weakness unless we're honest about our weaknesses, right? But he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He didn't say, I'm transparent about my weaknesses because that makes me spiritual. It's kind of like we've created this whole culture. It's almost like Christian group therapy. And it's not biblical Christianity. It's a step, but we stopped at the first step, being transparent. I had to be transparent all those years ago in my mental illness, that I was sick and mentally ill and all that other jazz. But somehow to think that that was where I was to be able to be thrilled with that I finally am transparent. Jesus was thrilled with that because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. So because I was able to be honest with him about being fearful, I was able to experience being set free from fear by being grafted into his courage. Christianity really is that supernatural. It really is that victorious. And if you don't believe that's true, then you need to something else. So you can have some fun doing something, right? You know, that's what he says. If you can't be lukewarm, don't be lukewarm about this thing. If you can't know the whole deal, just go after the world or become something different. You're wasting a good time. This section of scripture is so magnificent to me because, again, what we're doing is just meandering through the book of John, just discovering the expressions of the character and nature of God, the love of God. Because the scripture says that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has come to reveal him. He's come to reveal the truth to us about who God really is. Because the Jewish concept of who God was that he was a perfectionist and a very intolerant one at that. Well, because God's perfect, he doesn't have to be a perfectionist. Because perfectionists have a lot of controlling issues, and that's not who God is. And this is a chapter we've looked at some over the years, but it just blows me away to subtle things and expressions about the love of God that Jesus revealed. Now notice again what he said. Now, I don't have my reading glasses. I don't know where they are, which is funny. And therefore, if I read some places and you go, that's not what that says, just trust me. I'm doing the best I can, okay? Because my Bible's like this. And so if I knew I was going to go blind when I got older, I wouldn't have marked it all up like this. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee and had to pass, or the better translation is must needs pass. Jesus, it wasn't necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. Jews didn't go through Samaria. They intentionally didn't go through Samaria because the Samaritans were, so they're half Jewish and half Assyrian. So they weren't really full-blooded Jews, and their theology was kind of heretical. And so they were, the Jewish people, the full-blooded Jewish people were very prejudicial against them. They were very racist. And so they avoided them. And if they even was, if it was even easier to go through Samaria to get someplace quicker, they would still go around. Just as an expression of their spiritual purity and their attitude. Now, as the story unfolds also, because we'll be talking about this the way we've been going till about maybe 2027 in this chapter, that it's also very clear that Jews didn't speak to women, Jewish men, not in public. So they didn't have anything to do with Samaritans, didn't speak to women in public, and Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. But she wasn't just any old Samaritan woman, because this is a very hyper-religious environment. Because most heretics, if they're serious heretics, they're trying really hard to be spiritual. And so this is this woman who Jesus comes and he's there at noon, middle of the day, in this part of the world, in Sychar. It's about 115 degrees in the middle of the day. I went to Israel one time and I went to Israel and I lost my luggage. And for some reason in my little carry-on bag, the only thing I had was, because I wore my clerics, I'm not sure why I did that, but I brought a pair of gray shorts and a black, like, you know, like shirt, you not like fancy shirt, but knit shirt, pullover shirt. And I only had one pair of socks, the ones I wore on the plane, black socks, and the black dress shoes that I had on. So for a week, I had to wash those out, and I walked around looking like that. I looked like some lost tourist from Miami. But I remember how hot it was, wearing all that black stuff, even though those were these shorts. It was like 112 degrees. And in Sychar, it's a little bit hotter, so like 115 degrees, so nobody goes and sits by the well to drink water at noon. They come in the morning when the sun's first coming up, when it's you can see, but it's not so hot, or in the evening, just as the sun's about to go down because you can still see, but it's not so hot. But this is a woman who shows up at noon. And Jesus happens to be waiting for her there. Now, again, why does she show up at noon? I'm sure the reason is because she wasn't willing to face the humiliation anymore. Because she had been married 5 times and was living with a guy. Not a bright thing to do in a culture that's so hyper-religious. And so at noon, she would show up to get water because nobody else is going to be there in 115-degree weather. And when Jesus begins to talk to her, he mentions that the disciples had left to go get some food. He had sent them away. Now, I believe that Jesus sent them away because they weren't ready for this. They weren't ready for this expression of the love of God. They weren't ready for this expression of Christ-likeness. Jesus said, he's the way. He is the way. And his way is a way of life that's totally different than the fallen world. And they weren't ready for this way yet. They were never going to be able to walk it out until they were in union with the one who is the way, but they were learning what the way looked like, and they weren't ready to see this part yet. Because when she finally left, they showed, well, just before she leaves, they show up and they're thinking, what is he doing talking to this woman? But didn't say anything to her or him. I mean, what would you do? You know what I'm saying? But what's interesting to me about this is that one, it says when Jesus knew that the Jews had heard, the word had gotten out, that his group were baptizing more people than John's, and that was big news. Because you read chapter 3, all the Jews were still flooding towards John, like, you know, all the news people and all the cameramen and all those people were going there because that was the big story. But the problem was already occurring because John the Baptist's disciples came to John and said, hey, look, there's this Jew that just came to talk to us. And then we're having this discussion about purification. And he said, everybody's leaving us and they're joining this guy's thing. You know, the one that you were with back when you said, Lamb of God. So when Jesus knew that everybody knew this was happening, he didn't stick around where all the stuff was going to be going on. Like, you should stay there, Jesus. Because that's where all the cameramen are. That's where all the news people are. That's where all the television people are. You should stay there. Your ministry would become much better known. But he didn't do that. Matter of fact, he avoided all that. And instead, Jesus, who only did those things he saw the Father doing, John emphasizes that so much. And he only said those things he heard the Father saying. What Jesus knows, and maybe he didn't know everything was going to happen. I don't know. But I think he probably did. The Father probably just let him know, hey, look, there's this person. Though Jesus may not have known all this about the person because he was living as the Son of Man, not acting out of his deity. He just turns aside and goes where nobody else went. And in the middle of the day, sitting in a well waiting for this person to show up. Now, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. So what's happening here? I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but Jesus is also, again, revealing to us the true nature of God's heart. And that even though Jesus died for the world, he went out of his way for this one person that nobody else wanted to have anything to do with. We don't know why. I mean, had she prayed some prayers? I mean, there's got to be some right religious reason that adds up. Because all has to add up, right? But the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us. Why doesn't he tell us? Because he just wants to know that God loves because God loves, not because you do things that deserve him loving you. Then the other thing I'm going to say to you is scandalous, but listen to the other thing before you get too religious on me. But Jesus was revealing the truth is that God is like going, it's not about him. Do you know that? That over and over again, Jesus was revealing the fact that about God, that it's not about God. No, it can't be true because everything we've ever been told, it's all about his glory. It's all about him. God gave what he couldn't afford to give because it was about us. We were his dream. He had a dream for us. But isn't it for his glory? Yes. It ends up being that way because we love back because he first loves us. But if we don't understand that first love, we'll never love back. And because he loves us first, we want to do everything for his glory. That's how it works. But he was about us. You understand that. That no matter where you might be in your walk with the Lord, no matter how messed up it may be, being transparent about that's a good thing, but believing you have to stay there and call that authentic Christianity is nonsense. It's anti-gospel. The truth is that God loves you so much that even though he died for the whole world, you're the one person that's the most important person in the world to him. It's all about you to him. That's the way. See, the disciples weren't ready to hear that yet. There were too many barriers, too many. This is a woman, this is a Samaritan woman, this is a Samaritan woman. Wouldn't take long to discover her reputation. But this is who the Lord decides that he's going to drop everything he's doing, even the chance for more publicity, ministry grow. And he sets everything aside and goes out of his way to have an encounter with this woman, to offer her this thirsting soul, to say to her, I'm going to give you some water, a life, and you'll never thirst again. Now believe that, because that's what he said. You mean you can actually live not having to thirst for people's attention again? Not having to thirst to get your need met all the time again? Not having to thirst for self-worth issues ever again? Promotion so that people think better of you? People saying nice things to you so you'll know that they appreciate all that you've done? You can actually live that way and it be about them? That you can lay down your expectations because you don't have to have them think you're wonderful anymore because God thinks they're wonderful and that's the way that you get to participate in. That's stunning to me. That's who he is. If you don't know that about him, then let me introduce you to him, because that's who he is. He came and went through hell that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.